Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 335 of 4th and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas, and Mr. Mal in the building. We're talking about the breakdown. The breakdown is here. We've been waiting a minute. I think we've been waiting all season for this game. We're in the Super Bowl. A lot of Eagle fans felt like we were going to the Super Bowl. We're here. Yeah. We're here. A lot of Eagle fans are here. But this is the week to do it. This is the week for the Eagles to come through and make everyone's birthday wishes come true. It could be me over here, but I think overall we're going to break it down today and try to go and be real with the fans and really try to break this game down and find some matchups. Hollis is going to be bringing some of his pigeons, so it's going to be a grandiose time as we talk about this game.
Look at you, Gail, just talking about your birthday when we got Javon Hargrave, we got friend of the show, Crystal Rich, out there in Arizona, celebrating their birthdays this week. But let's just make it about the fact Gail won a Super Bowl on his birthday. I wish we could all get that lucky. I'm just playing with you, Gail. But, dude, I'm excited, dude. We are just a few days away. These 2 weeks have been dragging on along. I've been just struggling at work trying to find something to do that isn't just look at Eagles content on my phone all day long. I've been losing that battle. Don't tell my company.
You just told them.
It's great, man. To be honest with you, it's a lot of the same feelings that I had in 2017. I didn't buy one single NFC Championship thing again this year. Just like I did in 2017, because I knew we were going to win it. Because the feeling is the exact same. I just know we're winning this bitch, man. I'm ready for it.
Mm. I like it.
Well, you know what? I've still been going over my stuff, and I think last year I got all of this disdain for the hate that was coming our way, because now there's some cowboy love coming our way. I don't really know how to feel about the cowboy love that's coming our way, but I think it's more anti Jerry Jones because Jimmy Johnson said some things, and you know how hateful their relationship was. But also in watching the Chiefs, kind of limped into this. They got here, not limped into it like that, but like when I say limped into it, they're decimated by injury, dude. The head of the snake has one eye. Because one of his ankles is messed up. A lot of their receivers are coming off either on injury or they're injured. They're playing two rookie cornerbacks. And this said, we're the healthiest team right now in the NFL. I'm talking about going like top to bottom. We're one of the healthiest team. When I say like the when our starting units and everything, so we should bash their skulls in.
And I know Chris Jones. Just speaking of healthy, they've hit a little bit of a sickness bug that's going through their locker room as well. Yeah. So that's going on as well.
They're gonna show up ready for game time, though, bro. Ain't no sickness gonna stop that.
Nah, dude, it's the Super Bowl. Man. It's the Super Bowl, bro.
Chris Jones, that guy. I mean, for me, all of it comes down to the trenches. Me and Holly, we talk about this every time I'm on here, right? Like, I'm gonna always bring it back to the trenches because that's where the game is won and lost. I'm gonna stand and potentially die on the hill that what makes Mahomes great is also his downfall, right? That, like, he is a magician. And he's going to do everything and anything he can. He's going to hold on to the ball until somebody get open. This is our opportunity to bust that man up. I don't think that his ankle is as bad as, you know, it potentially was a month ago. He was moving around all right in the AFC Championship game. It's going to come down to the defensive line. Can they get after it? And then can we stop KC's D-line, right? Because Kansas City, even though they didn't get a lot of sacks, they produced a lot of pressures, right? Like top 10 in pressures, like they get after the quarterback too. Yeah. And so can we protect Jalen Hurts? And can we get after Pat Mahomes? For me, it's that simple, bro. And then you kind of build it out from there. But I like our chances of getting after Pat more than I like their chances of getting after Jalen because our quarterback can move. Pat, that's not really his game.
Yeah. Mm. Talking about injuries, their wide receiver, Kadarius Toney is a little banged up, but he should be back. They lost Mecole Hardman, a guy who stretched the field for them. At the end of the, you know, they had their some of the younger wideouts out there trying to ball out at their last game. But I think, you know, what they're going to try and do, they're a good offense in the red zone. They got a lot of trickery, a lot of motion. And at the end of the day, there's a guy, I don't know if you guys know his name, Travis Kelce.
Kelce? Yes.
One of the Kelce brothers.
He's a player of the Kelce brothers.
Maybe might be all world, but he's a guy that is very in tune with his quarterback. So at the end of the day, you know, Travis Kelce, he's a guy that does the damn thing. So
Avante Maddox and CJ GJ gonna be on that ass all day, bro.
Don't forget Kazir White. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Kazir White is going to be that guy that's going to be a bit of the X factor when it comes to checking Travis Kelce. I mean, when you look at, you had to go back and look at some of the games he played against him during the regular season when he was with Kazir White was with the Chargers. They played twice a year, and it was like, it wasn't until like his second or third year that he started getting the hang of it, and that's when they start battling for those games that you see going into overtime. Those games you're going coming down to a field goal. It's like they do a good job at playing. And I don't know the best way to describe it is when you play somebody twice a year for like your first 4 or 5 years of your your career, you get to know them pretty well. And so I guarantee you he still has notes on them, seeing it was just last year, not this season, but the previous season that he played them twice, and they. You know, played down right down to the wire. So I think that's one of the other things that we have going for us, other than, as Mal said, I'll take our line over their line anytime.
Both sides of the ball. Any line in the NFL. In the NFL. Both sides. Facts.
Anytime. Facts. Yes.
I mean, so that's the common denominator.
It's going to be a test, a war of attrition and will.
I mean, I love skill players. I'm a, you know, like former wide receiver. Like, I love the running back. Like, I love skill players. But I mean, I'm following Mal's thoughts. I mean, it's trench warfare. Yes, like, sir. It really comes down to, these guys have been throwing dudes out of the club. Like, you talk about the 49ers front, got thrown out of the club. Yeah. Talk about our offensive line. They're firing at a very high clip. We're talking about our defensive line. We're too
breaking
deep.
Arms out here.
We talk about the matchup on the right, the Uchiwali.
Yep.
We got Brandon Graham coming in after Hassan Reddick. So there's matchups, mismatches, you know, throughout the board.
And I know that you have your pigeons later on, but I'm so curious to see if they left tackle could stick with Josh Sweat. If he could stick with Brandon Graham. Because he's a big mauler, right? But like his ability,
Orlando
Brown, I love him. His pops was a baller. Right.
But played against his pops.
This a big heavy ball, right? And so like his ability to move lateral was the reason why the Ravens were okay with trading him in the first place. Yep. I want to see them get after that boy, man. We'll talk Wiley. We already know we ain't worried about him. That's food. That's barbecue chicken on that side, right? But like Orlando Brown, who's supposed to be one of the top left tackles in the game, man, if they could get busy on that backside,
well, it's funny you say that, Mal. When you look at that's why the Baltimore Ravens were okay with letting him go he's a mauler, but. When you get it, when you make him move his feet, like I think Josh Sweat and whatchacallit gonna do, and BG is gonna do, he gets overextended, and you can run him over himself.
The speed to recover, either right? That like if you hit him with an inside move and then you able to get on that outside shoulder again, you're swimming over him, spinning around him, like he can't recover as quickly,
right?
And you know, you got a Pat Mahomes who's in the pocket that also isn't as mobile as he usually is. Then you have Javon Hargrave, you got Cox, you got Ndamukong Suh who just ripped somebody's arm off 2 weeks ago. Right? Like coming up, you at the middle. And so where you running, where you hiding at, you know? And like I said, that I'm on any game, I'm gonna go right to the trenches. I'll tell you if you're gonna win or lose right there in that game, because you're gonna watch somebody get beat up. And whoever's getting beat up usually gonna lose that damn game.
The one thing I think is like you said earlier, Patrick Mahomes had a little bit of time to heal from the high ankle sprain, but that first hit, after that first hit or two, it's a different animal. Because I was thinking about when you said that, I was like, you always feel good going into the game before anybody actually hits you, because he's not getting touched right now. If you touch him, they give you a bus ticket. A taxi to wherever you came from if you're on their practice field. It's like, so the thing is I want to see how he reacts after that first sack.
Far as attacking the center of their line, I mean, do you guys think that just taking away Creed Humphrey's lucky charms is a good way to handle that? Or
the kid next to him, Trey Smith. He's a holding machine. I'm sorry. He gets overextended and on that side of the line with him and Andrew, they cannot handle stunts. So I'm looking for some ETs and some TEs to be destroying them. I don't that ranking at the bottom, that's crappy. I see people that they rank really high. That get destroyed on a weekly basis, and I'm like, what the hell? Put it that PFF ranking they had. I know you remember.
You don't watch all 22.
Did you notice the pigeon at the top too?
Oh yeah,
you like that? I mean,
that's high quality graphics.
I try to you know, bless
high quality.
You.
That's quality. Yes, that's quality graphics.
I mean, we might as well hit your pigeons while we're here.
Yeah, run them.
Hold on. Let me. Trying to make you
thanks some pigeon. Background music, bro.
Thanks, like. Pigeon. Do 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 do. Do.
Hey,
well, as you know, these are my pigeons. We're gonna start with Creed. Creed, the center. When they put somebody over him, and this is true with almost every one of Andy Reid's offenses, when you put somebody over the center and give him a real job to do, they have trouble. And when they put somebody over him, he has trouble like nobody's business. And then, like I was saying earlier, the rest of the line in general, Orlando Brown, he's a pigeon, especially against the really speed guys, because they often come over there because he can't recover once you get by him. And then on top of that, once you get by him a couple of times, he's gonna be jumping. He's gonna start jumping the snap. That's where they got a lot of their false start penalties. When Sweat's over there, that joker's gonna try to jump the snap so he can get his hands on him fast. But once you get him like that, I already know what they're gonna do. They're gonna get him jumping, and they're gonna slap his ass upfield and come right underneath and knock the crap out of him. Exactly. And then the other part too is that the whole line really are pigeons. Because they cannot handle stunts. When teams run stunts against them, they have problems and issues. But if Jonathan Gannon does what I think he's going to do and line it up five across and get everybody on a single team and running different little TE stunts, we should ass kicking early and often. Okay. The other pitchers were they're both of their corners. They have a couple of rookie corners. They are aggressive. And they bite on double moves like nobody's business. I don't know if toast. It was so many. If the Bengals could have held up a little bit for Joe Burrow, those guys were toast on some double moves and also on some basic routes too. I hate when they do this too. They look in the backfield too much. Instead of covering the guy that they went, they look at the backfield too much. He's coming off concussion. Sneed, yeah, I know he's coming off concussion. They've been doing enough because their defensive line has been putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks and making him get the ball out of his hand before he's ready. So they're their Achilles heel. They have a good linebacker core. And the other pitchers, it's like one of their D-linemen, I can't remember his number, he gets rograded a lot. Y'all talking about throwing out the club. I was like, why is he still on the team? He has like one sack. But I guarantee you he wasn't blocked on that sack or they just forgot about him. Because I can't think of his number, but he sucks ass, and they play him on a rotation. And I don't know why he gets any playing time, because every time he's in there, he gets ran up the line.
He's talking about DT?
Yes, a DT. He's got one sack. I forgot his name.
Saunders. You know,
yes. I'm talking about, I haven't seen
Cable
haven't
Saunders, seen, something like that.
I haven't, yeah. I think I haven't seen anybody get their ass whooped like this in like quite some time. And it's like when you see it, I was like, and he's still on the team? I was like, but
hey, that's my cousin, by the way.
He was known for
leaving the Senior Bowl. He had a baby, and he had the baby, and then came back to the Senior Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, it's dedication.
I don't know. He's still getting his ass kicked. But but the last part of the pitches that I wanted to put in there was the unwillingness of my guy Steve Spagnuolo to actually just put a DB on a receiver. Sometimes he leaves his linebackers out there and hangs them out to dry on some blitzes. Now, I think we could take advantage of this, especially when they try to cover our running backs as well, I like the fact that we protect our quarterback over getting our running backs out. But it's going to be a time where you're going to see one of those linebackers trying to run with the receiver, and it should be toast. Toast.
I love what you said about Spags, right? Because when I started thinking about Spagnuolo, one of the main reasons why folks was trying to run him out of these DC positions is because he would send that relentless pressure. But when it didn't get home, it was cooked, right?
Yeah.
Or if you get a quarterback that can re-center himself outside the pocket and get the ball downfield, he's cooked. And so I'm looking like, well, Jalen, we got a good offensive line that could probably give him time. So that's a good way to cook. If it don't hold up, we saw in Detroit how he just gets outside the pocket and makes plays. So that's another way to get cooked. And then you got AJ Brown and Smitty outside versus these corners that, like you said, love to jump double moves, really aren't all that disciplined.
Right.
Because I feel they might be able to cook. So
yeah, because they are 24th versus the pass. And that's one of the main reasons why that you just brought up is because they still send the blitzes and they get cooked. Toast.
All the time. I mean, Spagnuolo, that's what he's known for, bro.
The other part, too, about Spags is he will have the smallest guys in there playing D-tackle. We should run their ass out the club. And they're D-ends playing D-tackle. Trust me, when he was the head coach with the St. Louis Rams, I was there on the sideline on 4th and inches with playing against the Redskins at the time with Joe Gibbs. You know what he's running. He's running the trap right up the gut. And I say, here come that trap again. Somebody's like, what you doing out here? He had a defensive end playing nose guard in there. I'm talking about they threw his ass out of the club. But that's the stubbornness of some coaches, like you said, especially, and that's what he's known for. He's known for getting pressure and pressure bust pipes. But when pressure doesn't get there, you can't have a linebacker on a receiver.
Darius Slay had like a good post. I know, Gil, you got to move on, but he like highlighted it was an A-gap blitz and it was zero over the top, right? And like he broke the whole play down because people were tearing up the corner. And he was basically like, if the blitz doesn't get home, the worst place you want to be is a corner on the island with no help over the top. Exactly. And so when you got these young corners that are going to be consistently put in that place, and like Kansas City has some pretty good safeties, but he gets aggressive with them too, right? Like you got to then move them around. You got to have a lurker. Somebody got to be in the box to protect the middle now. So things change because you want to drum up this pressure. I think it falls right into the hands of the Eagles. I see somebody here with the Goddard quick releases. I think you're going to see a couple Goddard screens that eat that up, right? Yeah. And like you get that pressure coming off the end, dump that right down to him. And that man is a beast with that ball in his hands, bro. Yeah. People starting to get out the way now. So I'm trying to see how creative
it leads the league in yak as far as tight ends, correct?
And big runs.
See, the thing when I think about this Eagles offense, like it's like if you're an MMA fighter, like some can stay up and some can fight on the ground. Like this Eagles team can do both. Like you want the ground game, we'll give you the ground game. You want to go up in the air, we have two wideouts who should dominate on the outside. Yeah. And then when you talk about, you know, running the ball and then or even holding these linebackers, we saw what we did with Fred Warner.
Yo,
like just the hesitation. A little hezzy.
Man.
Yeah, I think Fred Warner's still standing there. Waiting to react.
when you look at the way that our offense broke down the 49ers defense, it's like, and the 49ers are one of the most deep, disciplined defenses known to man. Yep. There's like, and so it's like, you, oh man.
But 49ers fans to this day are still convinced that if Josh Johnson's backup would have been able to play, although I was actually doing some digging last night, and I just got to throw this little nugget out there. We as an Eagles fan base have been letting Chris Sims control our emotions too much regards to our quarterback and what we think about our quarterback. Let me tell you something. I just did a quick little search last night. You know that Josh Johnson has better career numbers than Chris Sims.
Yes.
That's what I mean, bro. We're sitting here talking about what Chris Sims thinks about our quarterback. I don't give a shit what Chris Sims thinks.
Do you know why though? No, because he's got a national platform and they continue to let his punk ass.
That national platform strictly because of his dad.
Yeah, because of his dad, yeah. But this will crack you guys up. Now, remember when T.O. first got here? And when T.O. first got here, they had inside the NFL, HBO was still on, and then Chris Collinsworth was still on there. So they came and they were doing a story on us, but he had bashed T.O. like weeks before. When he walked up to T.O. to try to shake T.O.'s hand, T.O. said, "Get the fuck out of my face." and that's what I want. And I know Jalen Hurts is too classy to do that, but that's what I want to see him say to Chris Sims. Because Chris Sims, you're right, Chris Sims. I played against Chris Sims. He sucked ass. We were knocking the shit out of Chris Sims. But
it's like Dan Orlovsky. He has so much hate. He has so much hate for Jalen. And then he admitted that he was wrong to a certain extent, right? Like you have certain people in the media that triple, quadrupling down on a dude that had MVP caliber season. This man lost a single game as the starter for the Eagles this year, right? Including the playoffs. And so there isn't so much to hate on. It's little nuances. No. It's little things where you want him to go from a top 10 quarterback to the number one dude, right? Like, it's more work to be done. When you're talking about who was, in my opinion, the MVP of the NFL, it was Jalen Hurts. And so if you can still sit and say that he's not good, that's an agenda that you got that's personal. That has nothing to do with the facts. We've already disputed all of the facts, right? Like, we know the truth. You just hate it.
Kelsey's got his receipts ready for the next speech. Man. Mike Lombardi last time, it's Chris Sims this time.
It's all good. At the end of the day, Eagle fans know like who the perfect quarterback for this team is and what he's done inside the locker room. Let's talk about this team needed some healing. Hurts came in there, and part of MVP is also being a leader. So he's a guy that was leader of this football team. He elevated his game exactly where fans wanted. Like, he elevated his game. He motivated his teammates. And now he's put himself in position, whether it's it's a pick your poison offense. And he's the conductor. He's the chef. He's putting the seasoning on these plays. He's got people shook. Defensive coordinator shook. So at the end of the day, I don't care about Chris Sims. I don't care about any of those guys.
I just want a trophy, bro. Just bring the trophy.
Take the MVP trophy. I'll take the Super Bowl MVP trophy. How about that?
Yeah.
How about
that?
Bring that home.
Darren G says, for the first time in my lifetime, we are true pick your poison offense. All we need to do is wait to see which way you want us to beat you.
I love the Colts game for this, right? Yeah. Because that final put away drive where Jalen used his legs, they kept calling a run over and over. That for me is playoff football. It's like if you're this far into this, you should be able to physically dominate somebody else, right? Like your offensive line should be moving people around at will. That's what the Eagles have. They got a bunch of these big monsters on the front line that move people just against their will. And so I hate when I see the Eagles come out and start doing tricky stuff. They start throwing these short, quick passes. They start three passes in a row now they're punting. Yo, punch these folks in their mouth, right? Like when they finally got around to consistently punching the 49ers in the mouth, that's when you saw the 49ers will break. Yep. It didn't have nothing to do with the quarterbacks going out the game and effectiveness on offense. It was, aside from that Christian McCaffrey run, that defense beat the hell out of them every chance they got. Period. So when I hear 49er fans crying, I'm like, you clearly wasn't watching the game. You worried about penalties and injuries. I'm telling you, your team got their ass kicked between their helmet, dog, between the shoulder pad, and then they ran the guys back to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And so we can do that. Enforce your will from Jump Street, son. Force it on Kansas City. Make them not want to play the game no more. Not like that, but on a football field, beat them to a pulp, bro.
Yeah,
you know, if you take somebody will, they don't want to play no more. Don't let Kansas City hang around, because that's how they win this game, in my opinion, is you let them hang around. You let them hang around, you know, late in the game. Mahomes is a magician. Anything could happen. But if you up 20, now he's scrambling. Now he's making more mistakes. So hurry them boys early, son. That's all I'm trying to see, man.
A big fish little boat says, I just want to say a shout out to Howie for going all in before and during the season. He didn't wait for the narrative to change.
Was it all in, though?
On Hurts, he put the money in the middle.
I mean, what did he really mortgage, though? Like, I keep hearing this. And there was the Jerry Jones comment that said that, you know, I don't want to be like Jeff Lurie or Howie Roseman and just give up, essentially mortgage the future for right now.
I interpreted that different, though. Like, I didn't read that as mortgaging, you know what I'm saying? I see that as he went and got CJ, right, Gardner Johnson, because he had a gap. He went and got in Dominic and Sue and Linville Joseph, right? When they needed the defensive tackles.
Right.
He invested in AJ Brown, right? Like he did these things that set us up for a championship, not in the way that the Rams did it, where they gave up everything to sell their soul for one, right? Like he set them up for consecutive success. I think he did do a good job of what Big Fish Little Boat said. You know what I mean? I don't think he did mortgage everything to get where we are now.
I say balling on a budget, man.
Like Ev, bro. He found my man Ev, bro. He found the right deals and pulled the trigger.
These deals on Facebook Marketplace. They were just handing out linebackers on Facebook.
AJ Brown was on Facebook Marketplace.
Well, the funniest thing is when you hear Jerry Jones say something like that, but then the rebuttals are like his old team, his old coach Jimmy Johnson. He said they didn't mortgage the future. They got two first round picks. We got picks in the third round. It's like they didn't mortgage the future. They got a bunch of picks and they got some quality young players, and they're under the cap. Not only did he say that, but Emmitt Smith said some of the same stuff. And I was like, wow. I was like, I don't know how to feel about the Cowboy love. And then they got Michael Irvin over there, high as a kite, interviewing all our players and stuff.
But not anymore.
It's like Jerry, and it's right, Trevon. It's right. Jerry Jones is currently full of it, and he's full of envy. To me, I think he's full of envy because he's had, to me, and I hate the Cowboys just as much as the next person. They've had enough weaponry to be where we at.
Yeah.
To be where we at.
He's their sick coaching because sucks. Dak ain't Jalen, bro.
Yeah.
They thought they had him a Jalen, and Dak's ceiling is a slightly above average quarterback.
Yeah,
it just is but what you, it is.
But we and oh man, and then somebody Ryan Clark said it, and he said it the other day. I'm watching. He's like, what? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? When he's like, why do y'all keep putting Dak up in the elite status? He is not an elite quarterback. He's proved that to you. Year in and year out.
Yeah,
he's like he's a good quarterback. He's not of elite status.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's not. He's a good quarback. It was like, but I was saying,
not great.
No, he's not great because he screwed the pooch in time to need. But enough for the Cowboys. Let's talk about the team.
How about that?
Let's talk about the Birds.
How about that? If you're talking about a guy an unsung hero, a player that could have a Corey-like Super Bowl performance, or a even a who else who had an amazing Super Bowl form?
LeGarrette Blount,
Nelson Aguilar. Who are guys? I saw in the chat someone said Kenny could have one of those.
I honestly think that
Wes is
due for a good game too, man.
Unsung hero.
I think Kenny G been balling.
No, unsung hero though. You think AJ Brown? You think Jalen Hurts? You think Dallas Goddard? But like,
I'm saying Quez. I think it's possible that Quez could have a deep ball.
I don't know. That is a good question, because it's like everybody's going to be expecting the other guys that we're speaking of to handle business. Who's going to be that one guy that nobody's expecting to just go off? Who's going to be the Larry Brown of this Super Bowl?
What if we get a blanket pick?
Y'all don't even know who that is, Larry Brown.
Not a clue.
Larry Brown.
I know the Larry Brown, the head coach.
Y'all know who Larry Brown is? Okay, the last time when the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's the only one I
football. Those are Cowboys versus the Steelers, and Neil O'Donnell threw two or three picks because Deion Sanders was on one side and Larry Brown was on the other side. Larry Brown got two picks and got a multi-year deal with the Raiders, and you haven't heard from him since. That's why y'all don't know him. He was a Super Bowl MVP.
What year was this?
I think 93 or 94.
I was like 7 years old. Mm-hmm.
But that's why I was saying Larry Brown.
In my parents' mind.
you wasn't a twinkle in your parents' eye yet? That six-pack in the back of a Chevy?
In 94, I would have been. Not 93.
Yeah.
Brian Walden says, Clement equals Boston Scott.
I could. That would be interesting.
I could see that.
Siobhan says, Reddick gets the MVP.
Honestly, I want Jalen Hurts, yo.
I want Jalen Hurts to get the MVP, mostly to just shut everybody up, right? Mm. So, like, let's just put the debate to rest. If he wins the Super Bowl, he wins the Super Bowl MVP.
It'll never be to rest, bro.
Nah, it won't be, but we can at least differentiate people that are talking factually from just straight haters, right? Because, like, that's my thing. If you coming at me still about Jalen Hurts after this season – I can't really talk to you anymore because we're not even on the same page.
I already know.
Just hating at this point.
You see, I spend so much time with these haters. I already know what their response is, which is that, well, Nick Foles has a Super Bowl MVP, and look at how the rest of his career turned out. That's what Nick Foles is.
Nick Foles a living legend in the city, bro.
100%. 100%.
Got a better career than Carson Wentz, dude. So listen, man. Hey, what we talking about?
That is mean, but true, but mean.
So true, but mean. Do we get everyone's unsung hero on this?
Who's
your unsung hero?
Potential unsung hero. I'm gonna say Boston Scott.
Okay. Who you got, Matt?
I'm going Javon Hargrave, bro. The one out there.
Okay.
The grave digger.
the big dog. Uh-huh. That's my guy too.
Yeah, he's a beast. What about you, F?
And he's playing. I've said it like seven times.
Kenny G?
A pigeon.
I said Quez.
I'm talking about Hargrave, dude, he's gonna straight up murder that kid.
Like, Dominican Sue in the middle. Come on, man. Like, them boys gonna get.
Can I give my unsung hero?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Devontae Smith.
I thought we were talking about guys that were flying under the radar. He gets forgotten, dude.
He gets forgotten because of AJ Brown. This man just broke the reception record for the Eagles.
I'm going to say he's my unsung hero.
Hey, well, he's been singing the whole season, bro. So I don't know.
This is the loudest nigga in the damn chorus.
I know.
Well, maybe I'll go low key Super Bowl MVP. How about that?
If you throw that out, you just gave yourself a different question than what you gave us.
I
know.
Because I got ridiculed.
He moved in the goalposts because he ain't like how we treated him, bro.
I'll stick my guns to Devon Smith, man.
He's going to take his ball to go home now.
Right.
Let's see.
No, we're
both saying Marcus Epps not getting the love.
I can see
the,
that.
Safety room. I agree.
See Marcus Epps blowing somebody up, yo. Yep, like catching Travis Kelce, hitting them low.
Before like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson got hurt this year, it was Epps and CJGJ. I think that once Gardner-Johnson got hurt, everybody got so enraptured in the Reed Blankenship coming in and performing well that the talk kind of moved away from Marcus Epps, who he still played well all season long. So I agree with you.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, he did destroy a couple of people too. I was coming across the middle. I was like, yeah, that's my guy too.
What do you? I was just thinking about this the other day because, to be honest with you, I've been riding this high of the Eagles, waves to the Super Bowl. But last night, I did have the realization that I've been denying all the way up until this point is that we're going to lose some guys next year. And I'm looking at. Do you guys think that? I'm not saying that I want this. I want CJ. But I'm saying, do you think that this front office is going to look at what Reed Blankenship did this year and view that as a value option? Okay.
You want a rotation, man. You need bodies, bro.
But the one thing that I think that will transpire, we're probably going to lose CJ because they're going to, some people, if, especially once we win, they're going to be offering him a buttload of cash. It's just time to get paid. Yeah. It's just time to
and these guys are all young too. Like they're going to get that big time contract that they've earned at this point.
I think CJ is interesting though, bro, is that he spoke about the fact that he felt the loyalty from Philadelphia that he didn't feel in New Orleans. And so if you just go on strictly off of his words and sort of like how he perceives this team versus where he came from, like he seems as though he appreciates the difference in how we operate versus other organizations in the NFL. And so, you could chase a bag, but if I could be a part of a team that's built to win several championships and it's a little bit less, but my opportunities for success is much higher.
Part of a dynasty?
Yeah, like, I mean, personally, this is where I would potentially want to be because they're set up for that repetitive success.
Mal, are you still of the same belief with the what you've been saying about Jalen Hurts?
I think he takes the money deal, man. I think he takes a deal where he doesn't have a lot of guaranteed money, bro.
I said that too.
Yeah, it's not going to be a lot of guaranteed money. It's going to be incentivized for him to win, to continue to perform well. He's going to get paid no matter what. But when it comes to his cap hit annually, look at A.J. Brown's deal. This man's making like $1.8 million on the books, right? But like when you look at how much money he's making, his signing bonuses, is all of those other things, they're going to hook Jalen. Jalen's going to get his paper.
I mean, one thing how he's done, he's made this place into a destination place. You talk about guys who are coming here on one-year deals, and then you have an opportunity to make money after you come out here and ball, or just having that ability to bring guys in that fit and make sense. So I think in terms of that, like he's made it into a destination place. And then you also have Hurts, a quarterback who's everyone loves Hurts. So I mean, right now we have a good vibe on him.
When you think about it, the thing that made this a destination place is Jalen Hurts. What people saw in him and what they saw in his worth ethic and what they see in him as a leader. As a player, get ready to go somewhere. You want a chance to win. You want a chance to win first. If you can't find a place that wants you that wants to win, then you go for the bread.
Get that money, right?
Yeah, get
or you win a bunch of times and then go get that money.
And so they made this a destination place, especially you can see the guys who came here. Like once Howie started doing what he was doing. Everybody, this became a destination place. Once he made that trade for AJ Brown, and we got Bradbury coming down there. This became like a because you can see Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, they were waiting. That's like because I saw both of those guys not on social media but on NFL Network, and they were saying, "What are you retired?" It's like, "Now I'm just waiting on the winner to pick me." because when you get to that age, you don't feel like going through training camp and stuff. You don't feel like thinking you have to fight for a damn job because they got all these young ass boys there trying to kick your ass and trying to make a name for themselves. So you stay in shape because this is
you're waiting to cut. Camp. Wait for somebody to get hurt.
Yeah, wait for somebody to get hurt, or wait till we get bludgeoned like we did against the Commanders and say, "I know y'all need some help. Y'all 8-1. Y'all was 8-0." Let's go.
So it was a good question in here. I'm curious to see what y'all think. And so the question was, and my apologies to who asked it, I can't remember. But if it came down to it, would you keep CJ or would you keep Bradbury?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Get AI writing support that works where you work. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
If it came down to it, I'm keeping CJ and then I'm drafting a corner with that 10th pick.
You know who, you know what's funny about that? Devon Joy Witherspoon Porter? Devon Witherspoon.
Remember?
More than Porter, in my opinion. Because when you're talking about toughness, when you're talking about the city of Philadelphia, when you're talking about the ability to play corner but also come up and stick running backs on the edge, I haven't seen somebody in the class better yet.
Yeah, remember who told you first?
I haven't seen it yet.
Once I watched Witherspoon, I was like, all right, everyone.
All right, stop, Gail. And who put you on Witherspoon? Because I told you I was watching.
We got a battle going on here.
Get out of here. No, bro.
He's got your tape.
I said Witherspoon, bro. I definitely said, Chet Witherspoon. he's solid against the run, but overall, I think, you know, getting a young corner in here for cheap would be nice. You know, paying Buku. Hey, man, we talked to Bradbury's teammates at our tailgate, his college teammates. I was like, could you talk to him about a discount? we'll give you some tomato pie, my boy.
But here's what Mal and we were just talking about. I was like, it don't have to be a discount. It could be a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yeah,
I mean, at a nice wedge collar. But I was like, you want to keep CJ, but you know you have to pay CJ a premium because he's coming off his rookie deal. So
Porter versus Witherspoon is going to be PS2 versus JC Horn round 2 with Pete Nathan.
I know Mark Bird will be on Witherspoon all day.
That man is a beast.
Mark Bird will be the Christian Rodriguez truther in here.
I started watching Kelly Ringo's tape, right? Like, you know, Ringo is the physical specimen, but he don't got that dog in him for real. Like, when I put on Witherspoon and I'm watching him come down and maul people, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, like no hesitation and no all gas, no brakes. And he could turn and flip his hips and run with a wide receiver. That's my CB1.
Let's start speaking about some of these matchups, bro. Chiefs matchups. I mean, we got to talk about Super Bowl. This guy, Chris Jones, has been a monster. Man. You talk about, you know, you give respect, you earn respect. Chris Jones has earned the respect of everyone in the league. And I think at the end of the day, he's a dominant force in the middle. How do the Eagles try and slow this man down? I heard Chip Kelly's coming back because he's going to see a lot of chips.
I was going to say you just feed him a lot of chip beef sandwiches. That's the only way you're going to slow this big guy down. And you're going to have to make him chase. And then sometimes you're going to have to run at him and hit him with some of those, what they call it, silky. it's a rub double. That means that both guys hit you, then that knock you up in one direction and take you in and take you in the other direction. They call it, when you hear the offensive line say, smooth, silky, it's like, ah, damn, I'm about to get my ass kicked. That means that they're going to double team you. The guy over here is going to knock this arm up like this, yeah, and the guy on the other side is going to come around and have his hands on your chest and take you for a fantastic voyage.
Silky.
They have to do that, but they have to keep him off balance. He can't know what he can't be in your playbook, is what I'm saying. It's kind of like he's the engine that makes their defense run. And if you can slow him down and have him guessing, the rest of the defense is null and void. That's it. You take over the game.
Go ahead. I was gonna say I love Jones, but he also his play wanes. Right, like he's not a run hot guy, right? Like he's I might make three plays in a row that completely disrupt your team, but he's not a guy that, like, when I think about JJ Watt back in the day, that's he runs hot every play. Like if you don't get a hand on him, he's on Hassan Reddick, exactly. Like Brandon Graham, right? Like we got run hot every single rep is the best rep they ever gave you in their whole life.
But you guys know why that is? Because he doesn't have, like, we have a rotation. We have guys that can come get you. When I look at their depth on their defensive line, it's mediocre at best. Mm-hmm. So when he goes over to the side to get some water or something, they're like, are you ready? Are you ready? Like, he can't even sit down.
Yeah. Because he's gotta take his blows on the field.
Yeah. Because this is what you do. Go look at the sack numbers. He has 15.5. The next dude has 5. Not even, just 5. 5-5-4-3-1.
Reminds me a lot of the defensive line we just went up against with Nick Bosa, and then the huge fall off. And then that's how I look at it too. In the fact that, I mean, Nick Bosa was not earned, in my opinion, but was the defensive player of the year.
Right.
And the way that we shut him down, dude, Lane Johnson, this entire offensive line, this is Jeff Statland University, man.
Well, kick it inside one, right? Look what they did. And Tank already talked about it earlier, but look what they did against Arik Armstead, right? Like, look what they did against the internal defensive line of the 49ers, which is supposed to be like running against two Krakens, right? Like, you just can't do it. And we literally watching Brian Baldinger. We forcefully escorted son. Like, yeah, you no longer in this place. We're running right here now. And so I'm not worried about Chris Jones. You know what I mean? I watched them forcefully move people a whole game. And we're talking like this was supposed to be the best that they faced. And they beat them boys up. And so, yeah, if Chris Jones, if your rotation can't rock without, again, like I started off, it's the trenches. For me, it's always going to come down to the trenches. And we watched how our offensive line took one of the best front fours in the NFL and made them null and void.
Right? And the way that I look at it, too, is like the NFL is a system of tiers. And we are in the top tier in the fact that we are in the Super Bowl. Eagles and Chiefs are in the top tier of the NFL right now. You break it down even further on the trenches, and we're even a tier above that, man. When you look at this offensive line, we have Hall of Famers, multiple, on this offensive line. So that is the key to victory right there. And the fact that we have guys that are literally going to be enshrined with busts versus guys that are really, really good. You know what I mean?
Because I've been thinking, I just feel like happy that we have this style of offensive line. And on top of that, you got Stoutland, who's, you know, teaching them the Jedi mind tricks. Yeah. And then you got guys in the incubator system, like Cam just sitting there chilling, like, I'm next. Like,
do you guys think is he too small to even try at guard, man? Like, next year, Cam Jurgens. Is he just on ice another year if Kelsey comes back?
Like, I don't think Kelsey's coming back, bro.
I don't know, man. Remember they're not gonna be able to sign Sam
contracts.
Remember they're not gonna be able to sign Sam Malo. They're not gonna be able to sign him.
But I'm saying, you think Cam is big enough to slide over guard?
Yeah, he should be big enough to slide over guard. I'll send centers and guards.
I know they cross trained him, but he's a little light. But you know, hopefully he got in that weight room.
My son is 303. Like, it's not like he's 295 or 285 pounds. Like, he's 300 pounds. He's a hog, Molly, my boy.
He needs 10 to 15 extra, though.
Yeah. To be a mom.
You got to be a man down in there.
I mean, if we saw
how he was getting busy during the preseason. They had his preseason ball, but he didn't look like somebody that was struggling too much with strength to move people around. So I feel like in the end of the day, he could use the additional weight, but he's going to center no matter what. So I'm not. If we win the Super Bowl, I am not under the bull. I think that
when we win the Super Bowl,
I feel like a bunch of these dudes ride off into that damn sunset, bro.
Big Fish Little Boat is correct. Kelsey is going to retire a champ, but it ain't going to be this year. He's going to retire a back-to-back champ.
Dog, why would he come back? He got little children. He got busted up knees, elbows. This man has sacrificed his whole body for this.
If you still can walk and stuff and you still got the wherewithal, you go out kicking and screaming.
If both can still work, he made
14 mil this year, bro. You won't say yes to another 14-15 mil.
I also
next
feel
year?
Like his and he's enjoying himself. Going to be so commercially successful once he does stop that, like,
yeah, but
for
but
a lot
what,
of these
what,
players, like, the if it's just the money. Like, that's different. Like, he love for the game, clearly. I don't know, bro. That's an old man, dog, in football years. So
if you're
on the stream, nobody say if.
We're speaking.
We will put you in the back.
I think he's gonna play. I think he's gonna play a couple more, just because. I think it's because of the young nucleus that we got. And then playing with these guys, he's gonna play a couple more.
BG the same as well. I mean, I just look at BG and I hold on to a comment that he said. I don't even know how long ago where he said he wants to play 15 years in the NFL. And I think he's
him getting hurt last year might have bought him some time because he looked fresh. When we seen him over the summer, I was impressed at how like. He looked good right on the huff. Yeah. Like BG looked ready. And I'm like, this is a 30-something-year-old dude coming back from an Achilles tear. And like that man is a force to be reckoned with. And so I feel like I could see BG coming back. Yeah. I feel like BG wants to come back, man. I'm done. He's gonna go get the podcast going and jumping and kicking with his younger brother, and they're gonna enjoy themselves. And if he comes back, I love it. Please come back, right?
So Todd says his mom said he thinks he's coming back. He's had the most fun this year. Hey,
why would you want to walk away from a team like this? I'm thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, they dropped that album. You know what I'm saying? They dropped that Christmas album. This guy got one of the number one podcasts out here. He's having fun with his brother.
You think he's not gonna be sitting there jealous talking about Travis's games every week next year?
But you know how cool you got to be to like have New Balance, like dad New Balance, and still be official. That's how cool Kelsey is. He makes dad New Balance a thing. I don't know. Have you seen his shoes?
Oh, I've seen it's on some dad
orthopedic Johns, not the I got New Balance, but he got the orthopedic.
He got the orthopedic. Oh, that's how you know he retiring, bro. When you need the orthopedics to walk around the facility, it's time, bro. Go ahead and just hang it up, bro.
Man was all pro.
It's all
right. Those orthopedics, bro.
He was all pro in them orthopedics, man. Listen, while your hips are still working and your feet, you can still feel all in your feet and the shoulders is all good. Yeah. Walk your ass to that retirement, man. Go enjoy yourself, bro. It's more to life than football, dog. So, I mean, whatever his decision is, of course, like, we're going to support him. But I feel like we're going to see potentially quite a few people say, hey, listen, this is a great team. This franchise is headed in the right direction. But I've done all the things that I've come to do, and it's time for me to now try some other stuff. And if he's one of those people, I would not be surprised.
People trying to retire Cox out here.
Speaking of, while we're on the topic of Kelsey, do you see this story too? His wife is 8 months pregnant, and they're bringing their doctor out to Arizona and to the stadium just in case she goes into labor.
Yep, 35 weeks, I think she is.
First Super Bowl baby.
Bananas.
All right, let's talk about it. Any other I mean, let's talk about this guy. You might have heard of him, Patrick Mahomes.
Talk about Patrick
Mahomes. I mean, we are 50 minutes into the pod. I mean, I think it's just a breakdown.
The frog.
I think Patrick Mahomes is one of the best QBs we face this year. At the end of the day, he's a guy that can perform off platform throws. He can throw guys open. He'll break the rule and throw across his body and still get there accurately.
No, he'll throw it with his left hand, man.
Yeah,
fall it to the ground, flick it.
So I mean, what is your plan of attack when you're coming at the GOAT? Some might call him the GOAT. I think Evan earlier this week had mentioned that he's one of the best QBs, right? You call him one of the best QBs.
I did.
So how would you, what's your plan of attack going after?
I think that first of all, it's a big help that that ankle is a little bit busted right now. So he's not going to be as mobile as he is, at a regular time. I think the key to stopping Patrick Mahomes is taking away his weapons, man. And his biggest weapon is Travis Kelce. And however we end up doing that, whether how Hollis said with Kazir White or with CJ and bracketing him, I think that's what you got to do with Travis Kelce. And then you have two absolute lockdown corners on the outside on guys like MVS and Juju. They'll handle that easy. So if you're able to just cover those guys and then you force Pat Mahomes to either fit it in a tight window or he's going to feel the pressure from our defensive front.
Yeah, I feel like we need to give him some contained pressure. You need to contain him. You can't let him make those offbeat throws. You can't let him break and tame. You got to have rush gap integrity when you're rushing him. But push those offensive linemen in his lap. Make him move, and just sack him. Once you sack him, everything else will take care of itself. I think you run some coverages to trick him. Once run some one robber where he thinks that Kelce's being single team, and you have that robber watching his eyes so you get him some picks and make him fumble. They have fumbled the ball 21 times this season. So I think it's there because I think I said this earlier this week, Mal. You were here. It's like I was telling him about that eternal clock that you could put into a quarterback's head. It's like once you, especially as with the front that we have, if we go out, and start hitting him, or even just touching him, or just grazing by him, he starts to get a clock in his head of when he needs to get rid of the ball, and then you start hitting him and sacking him. Then that clock speeds up, and then he throws us the ball. But the main thing I think for us defensively is to affect him and keep him contained. Because if you let him get outside, you saw what he could do once he get outside the pocket, throw the ball across his body. Not only that, flick the ball in different ways where you think you've got him out of bounds. He still flicks the ball for a first down or sometimes a touchdown. But the one thing that I think our defensive line has to do, and we have the ability to do it, is contain him and put that pressure up the gut on him.
There's a stat here from Sharp Football Analysis. Eagles had the second highest pressure rate with a four-man rush. They were 11th when they sent a blitz, but no team created quicker pressure with an extra pass rusher, 2.25 seconds. 45.9% of Mahomes' passes attempts this season have come with 2.5 seconds of the snap.
So by that math, if we send five, then we can get to Mahomes half the time.
But the thing about it, right, is like when teams shifted to the cover two shell, that's when Kansas City fell apart. That's when Tyreek Hill got he was upset with his role in the offense, and you force Pat Mahomes to become Tom Brady. Pat Mahomes not really a dink and dunk dude. He don't really want to get into hitting the running back consistently. He don't want to beat you with 5 and 7 and 9. He want to crack your skull with these big plays, right? That's why you see him maneuver around the pocket for so long. And so I like that stat of like how quickly he gets it out. But when you're looking at the other half, I would love to see what the rest of that statistic looks like, right? Like that remaining percentage, I would love to see how long he's holding on to the ball. For me, that's where the Eagles win this game. And it breaks down a simple equation, right? Be where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do, right? And then, Tank said, have gap integrity. When you're on a man, stay on that man. If you see Pat running out around in the pocket, don't leave that man. Run with that man, because you got defensive linemen, you got spies that's going to do they do your job, right?
Mm-hmm. I was watching.
Do what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Don't try to be the big man, the hero. Let that come to you.
I was watching Kurt Warner speak on just like the idea of having a secondary where the instincts of the secondary, a lot of these guys are instinctual. You talk about Chauncey, like they could break off plays. They'll be in zone. They'll break off into another. And then you talk about Bradbury, another guy, Slay as well. And then you have Lil Tay-Tay. There are a lot of these guys that have great ball instincts too. So I think, you know, he'll have the out, like a 3 yard out, get the first down, but he likes, it'll be a fourth and one. He's trying to hit
that 15.
He wants that big play.
Yes.
And the one thing also too is whenever you play defense line and you're going over your pass rushes, it's not a win unless you finish. The coach used to have a clock in there, 1,000, 2,000. So if he's getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds, we have time to get there. If you watch a lot of Hassan Reddick's, you can tell when he's going to win off the rip, off the get off, because I just can tell sometimes the offensive tackle looks scared. And right when he goes in and the offensive lineman, he drops his head. I was like, oh, he's got him. As soon as he drops his head, he thinks that the power's coming, slipping right over the top. 1.8 seconds every time.
And I love his club move, bro. Like, his club move is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah. When you watch him, Hassan Reddick, against McGlinchey in the San Fran game. Like, he hit him with the club to just get him discombobulated and then just bodied this man the rest of the way. And I'm like, as an undersized pass rusher, that's how you win, right? It's like, I got to get your long arms off me so that I could get my hands on you and move you where I need to. And, like, watching him, yo, masterclass, son. A masterclass.
You know, I saw a younger Eagles fan on Twitter yesterday post a – he's like, I know I'm going to get some hate for this. He had Hassan Reddick greater than – ready? Wait for it. Reggie White. I was like, bro, I will call Elon Musk myself, get you booted off Twitter. Like, what the heck? Like, slow down.
Yeah.
Hassan is great.
Let's not disrespect Reddick.
Now, when they pull this off, if he's an MVP, then you can say something to that nature. Eagle-wise. But I've never seen anybody do what Reggie White does. I seen him do it to Eric Wiggins. When I seen him do it to Eric Wiggins, I was like, there's a man. He did the hump move, the club slash hump move, where he, even though the offensive lineman knew it was coming, there was nothing he could do about getting hip tossed. And then I, you know, as a kid, you always think these guys are always in the weight room because they're strong. He was just country strong. He was not a weight room guy. I was like, wow.
Man, Reggie had 198 sacks, man. That's second all time. We can't be talking about that right now.
Yeah, we can't be talking about that. Let's just get the victory.
Yeah,
that's it, man.
They dressed up Rocky already?
They did?
Yeah, somebody dressed
up. I'm under the conclusion that, like, it's gonna be us at this point, man. It only makes sense, bro.
And I saw the one Chiefs thing too, and it was literally just a red shirt with in Sharpie wrote Chiefs on it. I'm like, a Chiefs fan would have put an actual Chiefs shirt on there, bro. That's just someone that had a red shirt and a Sharpie in Philadelphia.
And doctored the picture up, it'd be like that sometime, man.
Interesting. So let's move right along. Any other players from the Chiefs? You know, Pacheco is a guy.
Shout out to Pop Pacheco, man. Shout out to Rutgers, bro.
Rutgers, you know, he's a guy that has made himself some money. He's a guy who's been a yak monster for the Chiefs. McKinnon and Pacheco, I think those guys in space down by the goal line as well. They can stretch out the offense. What do you guys think about their Chiefs running game?
I mean, as somebody that watched Rutgers, bro, like, Pacheco was a dog, son. Like, he just was on an offense in the Big Ten playing against much better competition, but, like, he couldn't really get off like that. But I'm not the least bit surprised to see him successful with the Chiefs. He's not as dynamic, though, as McKinnon is to me. I like Jerick McKinnon for years, even before the knee injury, right? Like, what he presents as, like, a a challenge for you as a defense, you could list the number of things, right? Because he could catch, right. He could run, he could pass protect. He's their best pass protector. So I'm more worried about McKinnon. And if Mahomes is into panic mode, that's how they start catching up, bro. Is that McKinnon is a playmaker, dude. He might be their best playmaker other than Kelce on the offense. And so, you know, Pacheco between the tackles, horse. But if they in catch-up mode, I'm way more concerned about what McKinnon can do in that 2-minute to 4-minute offense for them, and definitely in the red zone too.
Well, mainly because McKinnon is a mismatch problem. A lot of times they try to get him on a linebacker, and a linebacker is not really going to be able to cover him for that long. He might take that one shot. If you miss on that one shot, he's going to create a problem. I think that's the one thing when he hits the checkdowns when we're taking away everything else. We have to be able to make tackles in space so that McKinnon and Pacheco don't get busy. We also have to be able to stop the running game and make them one-dimensional. Sometimes even when you make them one-dimensional, they still thrive. But if you truly make them one-dimensional, that's how they lost a few games that they lost this season when they got like 26 and 30 some yards. Is it 26 and 33 yards or something like that? And but when they were winning, they get between 66 and 80 and 100 and some yards per game. And some of it is actually Patrick Mahomes. Like I told you last week, it's Pacheco has 803 yards, and the next leading rusher is Patrick Mahomes with 350. So it's one of those things where if you shut it down and they have to throw, we can handle business. But we just gotta. The main thing though is to contain Mahomes.
Yep.
Contain him.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is like you beat Brady for Super Bowl, and you beat Mahomes.
You beat CMC last week.
You know, you beat some quality quarterbacks, but, and then we don't gotta hear shit from anybody like we beat Mahomes.
Yeah.
When?
I saw a question in here earlier, and I know that we tend to have a rhythm of what we do every time, but would you guys, if we won the toss, would you defer or would you take the ball and try and get an early lead?
Take the ball.
I'll defer. Take the ball.
Run it down.
Run it down their throat. Exact street justice right away.
And get
run the ball with extreme prejudice. Let them know it's about to be a long day.
Get a three and out. Hassan Reddick in his face. Score again. Go up top. AJ Brown. Devontae maybe.
Why I would want to kick that rock, bro. Because I want Kansas City to go out on that field first. I want them to feel like they got that shit. Because if you force that first three and out to punt and then you go score, now you flip it on them. You know what I mean? Like, nah, you take this ball, I want you to prove to me that you really that guy, son. Because I'm coming in here feeling real good about the plan that I have and the horses I have.
We defer it anyway all the time, rock, son. But now, when we win the toss, don't we defer it most of the time?
We tend to.
We want that extra possession.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like I feel like we defer it.
Like extra possession, but if it's win related, you know what I mean. You could choose which direction you want to kick in when the game matters.
But then you come back out and you get your offense right back on the field, ready to go. After halftime,
smack them in the face, right? Mm-hmm. Get that rock back, score, and then like you said, halftime you get the rock back, and so. Listen, bro, I'm kicking that ball.
Now, Sports King with a question here. So, would you all be surprised if we just beat them handedly?
Nope.
I've been saying it all week, bro. Gail, I talked to Gail on the week, on the phone earlier this week, and I said to him, I was like, dude, the more and more I think about this game, I think it's going to be more of the same of what we've seen all year long. I think it's gonna be another Eagles just have their way. I mean, I said jokingly on the show last week when AJ brought up, do you want it to be a close game? I was like, no. I want it to be boring for everybody else watching. I want to be partying by halftime, man.
Yes.
And I think that I think it's obviously going to be tighter than the 49ers game, but I really do think that we win handily. I wouldn't be surprised.
I love that in a cool tone. That's exactly what it's going to be, bro. Yeah. It's going to be scripted. It's like, oh, it was scripted. They were supposed to win the Super Bowl. It was written. I'm mad at Arian Foster, bro. Because
that was
he came out and said that he was joking.
No, bro, you can't say you if you're joking, if that's supposed to be satirical, make that very clear. Yeah, when you make a statement like that on social media in the state in which everyone is already complaining that they think the game is rigged, and then a person that played the game at an all pro-ish level sits and says we got a script to start the year.
This is also the same guy that said that he could fight a wolf with his bare hands.
He says he's acting up. But you know also acting up, Philly Sports Trips out in AZ,
baby.
If you're looking to go, have a good time. They're having a tailgate, you know, February 10th to 13th. It's the Birds' ultimate Arizona trip. I know Big Tank will be out there with his gold chain.
Probably a little bit late to buy a ticket.
Can we see your gold chain first of all?
I don't know what I did with it. I put it away because you got to catch me on social media.
Yeah, we're
trying to give my man some love.
That's my, I'm going to give it to him. I got it.
Shout out to the Crafty Bastards. He came up with an idea for a tank chain number 78 on the side.
Damn, Skippy.
Nice.
Yeah, doing good work. Check out the crafty.
Tremendous work. Crafty bat. Yep. It was like that. But we will be flying out this piece early tomorrow morning and having a grand old time down in Arizona. Doing the big Philly Sports Trips. Philly Sports Shirts. Get my damn Skippy t-shirt. PhillySportsShirts.com. What's up, Bob and Pete from out there on the coast 98.7. They watch us each time we do this. Who else did that? I didn't forget nobody.
Shout out Dolan's Bar.
PJ, my boy PJ is watching. Shout out to Base Training. You know, Andrew is still watching. Vince.
Carter, you know, like that.
Yeah, Vince Carter or Vince Rizzuto.
Oh, man, Vince. Shout out Vince. So.
Vince said.
And Bob Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at
Vince said he's bringing his lucky shoes. Man, Vince got some customs and destroyed them in one day.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think he went jogging in them.
I said, bro, one day and you destroyed them. He's like, they're my lucky shoes now. I'm like, bro, we should fix those.
wait till he gets worthy one more time.
let's go with our offensive MVP of the Super Bowl, because yes, Pete, Nathan, we speak things to existence. If one of you're crying somewhere, I'm gonna be slap you. Just let you know that we spoke this into existence. Offensive MVP, who you got?
Him.
Jalen Hurts, baby.
Jalen Hurts. I think it's consistent. Jalen Hurts.
That's only one answer for that one.
I'll go Jalen Hurts.
I think we all got Jalen
Hurts. Damn, Skippy, you will.
Damn, Skippy.
I'll go Jalen Hurts.
Nathan out here just...
He just needs to be slapped. Open hand.
He just needs to be slapped.
Damn it, Pete Nathan. I think it's consensus. I think the consensus with everybody, including the squad, is that Jalen Hurts wins the offense, the MVP in general. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just because all the crap that he's had to go through. I think they should force Chris Sims to hand it to him too.
Yeah. Did they officially announce? They didn't announce the MVP of the league yet.
No, that's gonna be Pat Mahomes, bro.
Yeah. Well, what about Walter Payton, Man of the Year? They announced that one yet?
I don't think so.
No, not yet. You know the funny thing about that is I think Eugene Robinson won it one year and then got busted in the prostitution sting. during Super Bowl.
Whoa.
Okay. I was like, damn, he's playing for the Falcons then.
I mean, when they lost. You know, you can be a man of the community and still rely on sex work.
With your wife.
He's supporting local business, Hollis.
With your wife and kids in a hotel?
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, maybe not that. I don't know.
Maybe you just might want to tell me who
you are. Husband of the Year award, pal. Yeah. All right.
maybe you might want to tell us who your defensive MVP is. How about that?
Ooh
number man. Seven. Number seven, bro. He's James taking Bradbury. The game over.
I got two picks for Bradbury.
Bradbury.
I love it. I think
he locks it up.
I think Hassan Reddick once again does more of the same and just completely disrupts the game.
Yeah.
I think he comes away with another 2-sack forced fumble performance.
Okay.
Big play Slay.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Slay.
I love the fact we can legit choose like 7 different people.
Yep.
Bro, that's bananas.
Yep.
Oh, like we could just keep naming people.
Ooh. Right.
And they're all equally viable. Right. Yeah.
Like we could just keep naming people. We ain't talk about CJ yet. We ain't like no one even brought up Slay.
No one even brought up Slay.
Thanks, Slay.
How about Big Tank?
Sitting in
the baby seat at the watching the Super Bowl.
I'm be sitting in the quality section, sir.
I was worried.
If you stand close to the field, you might see me on the jumbo truck.
Okay.
That's right. I'm going.
Make sure you bring back some. I would please. All right. I'm going to ask nicely. Could you please bring me back some confetti? That's all I'm asking. Anyway, I saw Chris Nady in the chat. Chris,
right. He said, somebody, please.
Bring you back some confetti?
Hell yeah!
You think I'm gonna be thinking about
your grown ass on the ground?
Dead ass
handful. Put it in your pocket.
Just
confetti.
You ain't gonna know the difference.
No, you ain't gonna know the difference.
No, I want some confetti. I don't know.
Some confetti.
I never asked for anything. Confetti would be nice.
I would ask somebody else. Gail, it doesn't look like you're getting it here.
And yet, when you're asking the most degenerate person on this entire panel. It was going to be tailgating for 4 hours.
Give me some
in a game.
The most degenerate person on the panel. So you know, playing, bro.
I'm gonna be faded.
I collect everything.
I will be faded.
baby, I love it.
So if
hey,
I
you
if
can't
I
be mad
if
some, life, but tell you they truth.
If something happens to fall in my pocket, and, you know. But I'm just letting you know. I'm just gonna be looking to keep it together.
Okay, I have to ask someone.
I get fine, bro. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
Appreciate you. Tim asked.
House is gonna be doing his best Barrett Robbins impersonation.
My score prediction is 30.
We get
34-7. Birds.
Jesus.
31-17. Birds. Victors, Super Bowl,
can I 57,
second ring.
Or am I forced to go with the Eagles?
What?
I'm just joking.
Look, I know the man that said 20-0 ain't saying this shit right now.
Wow.
I haven't been in the bathroom in a minute, so that's fair. I deserve that. I don't have a score prediction, man. Somebody in the comment section mentioned, and again, apologies for not remembering the name, but you can't sleep on Mahomes, right? Like, even up big, he's the type of dude that could absolutely march them back if you don't continue to execute. So I'm less worried about what the finals, what my score prediction is, and just the attitude I want them to carry is that of dominance, right? Is that you aren't provided a lot of opportunities to reach the summit with a bunch of other people that you care about to do something this great collectively. That very few people get this chance. The fact that they have people on this team, this is their second chance, third chance, right? Like, don't let this moment escape you. Show up, do your job. The moment will come when you can be that guy hey, if you built for it, be that guy. If you're not, then just do your job. If you do your job, we win, right? Like, I don't know that we blow them out. I don't think that it'll go down like that. But I do think the Eagles win handily, and everybody cries a river, and the city just jumps. Yo, I don't know what's Philly going to look like after this Super Bowl win, bro. It's gonna be interesting, though.
My score prediction, I'm going to go 33-21. But we would like to let y'all know we're going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe on Sunday. We're going to get down there. Party starts at 6. Nice. We're going to have our own private space. It should be a good time.
Oh, so y'all cleared that up, huh?
Yeah. So make sure you bring your good energy, good vibes, because like the party doesn't stop there. Pete Nathan, the party doesn't stop there. Pete Nathan, it goes to Broad Street after there. And then, if you've never been on Broad Street during a Super Bowl win, I think you should change things.
It only happened one time, guys. So like,
no, don't act like it's this one.
Right, it ain't like this is regular. Like this only one time that people could have experienced this.
You should have been out there the first time. I'm just saying. So
if you remember where I was, yo. I was so hyped, bro.
Evan still doesn't know where he was at.
I hit in the face of the ladder. I kind of called an audible on the whole night.
So for anyone who's looking for this new font hat, it's sold out.
That's not the only thing that's sold out.
You know, Gail.
Hard Rock tickets for the party. Also yes. Sold out.
Yes, so Hard Rock tickets are sold out.
Y'all ain't never give me my tickets, bro. What's up with that? How y'all sold out and I ain't get my joints yet? What's up?
Are you coming?
Wow. Nah, I'm just joking. I'm getting a Poconos.
Yeah, see?
I was trying to figure out if I can do it, but it's too much driving.
I did see someone in the chat earlier.
Brian. I just saw that. I didn't get his message earlier, but if you have an extra ticket and you want to donate it, let us know. Because the people keep asking me every day for another ticket.
I know they do.
And I don't have.
Hey, Darren, I respect that, bro. Darren,
we've actually got a negative amount of tickets right now.
I got.
Less than zero.
Yeah. Well.
That's a positive, though. That means people try to show up and party with the homies and enjoy the, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
That's a beautiful thing.
Tim Hayes says those hats are reselling for $95 to $100.
Should have got him while
they was at.
Justin says, I have family that lives in Philly, sir. About to sleep on it. Yo, this is at this point in time, everyone has to come up with a plan, whether it's like, like you got to come up with a plan.
That's Chris, why I fumble in this because I got a 5 month old and the plan ain't good enough. So,
I'm finna get into my plan. I got to get ready to pack so I get the hell out of here in the morning.
You leaving tomorrow?
Damn right in the morning. Yes, sir, up early man. In the morning. Say it's good.
Malcolm, you really telling me you're not going to let MJ climb a pole? They win a Super Bowl?
Yo, my son ain't climbing no poles, never. I'm kidding. Reasons.
None whatsoever.
I'll be the one yanking him off that pole. Boy, I told you better. Don't embarrass this black family like that.
Come on, man.
Get your ass down.
Hey, Mal, you got good insurance, Mal.
It ain't about insurance. It's about embarrassing my damn black mother. She's fine. See her grandson on the pole. You know, I'm going to be beat up, bro. I live my whole life doing this.
Because it's going to make the news. It's going to make the news.
Black child climbing the pole? Nah, bro.
I actually saw a video that was getting passed around from when we won. It was from the parade, not from the night that we won. Mm-hmm. But, dude, it is the wildest video I ever saw out of that, where this guy was on top of a traffic light. And no look trust falls into the crowd like 25, 30 feet up, dude.
I saw that. I saw that.
That was like the crazy. Like that guy was ready to go.
Did he die?
Got a Super Bowl. No, he. They caught him. But I'm saying like that guy just no look trust fall 30 feet onto a crowd of people. My man got his Super Bowl victory and was like, you know what? This is fine if I go out right here. This is fine.
Listen,
I'm gonna ruin the hell of a lot more people's days. Tears,
but I didn't jump off of anything. I had to go to work the next day.
As a man that's broken his hip and spent multiple days in the ER,
right?
I ain't about that life no more, man.
Hey, did you like? Someone asked me like again, like people. I'm not. I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling great. But are you going to cry after a second Super Bowl?
Yeah, hell yeah.
To be honest with you,
I didn't grab the first one.
First one,
because you're a psycho killer, Norm Bates. We already did this.
How did you win, win, bro? I'm a man and I win. I enjoyed the shit out of it, especially beating the hell out of what you call him, and beating the hell out of Tom Brady, the hell out of Phony Brady. I mean Tom Brady. And that was what made it epic. And then the other part that made it epic for me is when that punk motherfucker didn't go over and shake Nick Foles' hand. Lets me know that bitch was mad, because he only did that two other times, and that was to Eli.
Didn't he do it twice to Foles too? Like he's done it more than once to Foles.
Did you see when Brady retired? That was the picture that Foles shared. It was him shaking Brady's hand and just some off event. I was like, "Yo, Foles, you petty as hell. I love it."
Well, no, because that's no matter what, as a player, as the quarterbacks and the head coaches have to shake hands. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to shake nobody's hand. I'm a degenerate. I'm a defensive lineman. I'm not shaking the enemy's hand, but the quarterback and the head coach are supposed to be diplomats.
Right. Nah, that's a fact. Imagine like there's no situation where Jalen not going to go dap somebody up, right? That like no matter what the game looked like, no matter how it played out, like it's a certain level of integrity that he carries himself with that Tom Brady showed he lacked in that moment. Because in the end of the day, and you could have like y'all all on the same team, y'all NFL players, like that's a brotherhood, bro. Everyone knows that. And so it's certain unwritten things that you just don't do. Right. And that's definitely one of them. And so, you know, Tom, he a petty dude. And hey, man. Yeah.
Now, Helene asks, what are we going to do with the game day fits? I know Ev is going to wear, I think I'm going to guess you're wearing Jason Kelce jersey. Nick Foles. That's right. Nick Foles. What about you, Mal?
I'm going to be in a Devontae. You already know, man.
Black?
Yes, sir.
Devontae? Sneakers?
Yeah, the joints you made me. I need the Eagle thing so I can put it on the side, bro. It's all green. I need the Eagle thing. I can press
you didn't on. You didn't ask sound what you asked for.
I told my wife that, too. I was like, you know the mistake I made? I told Gail do what he want, and I wasn't specific enough. And so now, we'll talk later. But, Devontae, you were the sneakers that you got me. I actually probably be rocking a 4th and John jacket, too, because I've been rocking that around the city.
Love that. Right. Nice. Speaking of, Gail, can you bring mine? Because it's still in the back seat of your truck.
You know, someone put a drink in my vehicle, it knocked it over on my 4th of John jacket.
Violation.
No, it was actually mine. I was like, Tom Brady, that's integrity.
That's integrity, Tom Brady.
I was like, Evan's jacket. No, that's mine. Big Tank will be wearing the Kelly Green fit.
I don't know what I'll be wearing. I'm gonna have my chain on, but I haven't decided what I'm wearing.
This guy gonna have a chain and a thong and a thong out there.
No, I'm just gonna have a chain on and a tank top.
He's gonna be crossfaded in Arizona having a good time.
Tank, I need some footage, man. I need some crazy footage.
Tank, you gonna drink any beers or it's gonna be a strictly liquor diet?
More than likely, just liquor. I figure, why fuck around?
Liquor, I hardly know her.
Gary from overseas is saying he's rocking the Foles. Molly's going rocking the Reggie.
Nice.
Lucy's going with the Kelly Green and White. Very nice.
Nice.
Sports King is going to Randall Cunningham. Okay. Pete Nathan.
Rocking the Reggie. I was thinking about wearing my Randall Cunningham. I was thinking about wearing my Randall Cunningham. I got his Pro Bowl one. Pro Bowl Randall Cunningham.
Nice.
It is kind of sexy too.
I think I'm going with the Eagles media day fit. That's what I'm going with.
I like it.
And I will be crying.
Way to dampen the mood.
I'm crying with no shame in my game, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be on that loud, on that gas, and I'm gonna be tears of joy, bro.
I'm gonna be on all that and then some. But I mean, been popping some bottles on somebody.
Yes, sir.
He rotten. Oh, sorry.
I know Hollis got some good things to drink, but while we're at the end of the show, man, it's always about the last word. People in the chat, what is your last word? We're gonna give our last word before the big game. Say it with your chest. Say it loud. Say it proud.
I'm gonna go first because I gotta get ready to finish some stuff that I gotta. My last words is go Birds. Let's bring this victory home so we can party up and pump up the music and count our money. I'm gonna go down. I'm gonna get myself set to go to Arizona with a bunch of people for Philly sports trips. It's gonna be a stone cold groove. I wish y'all could come, but y'all hold a fort down here over at the Hard Rock, and don't let them tear up Broad Street until we get back. Wait till we get back and we tear it up on
the
parade.
No promises.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Because this is the one thing.
It may
thing,
not be a Broad that, Street. Left.
That's what I was about to say. Because everybody was talking about how last time it was raining like a motherfucker here. And wasn't nobody going out there to mess around.
Right.
This time, it's going to be decent weather. You guys, take footage. Just take footage because I know I saw what happened when we was going to the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you guys saw the footage of the one dude who mounted on top of the bus stop thing and just got stark naked. I was like, with no shame, I was cracking up. Man. So, go Birds. I'm about to finish. I got to finish packing and stuff so I can get ready. Got an early flight in the morning to go to the AZ, baby.
Yes, sir. Travel safely, my dude.
Thank
you. Yeah, man. I mean, it's what I said all day. Do your job, yo. Right? It's like, show up to this game, understand the magnitude of it, but also don't let it be bigger than you. And I love the fact we have Alabama players and Georgia players and folks that have already played in the Super Bowl. So this is a big moment, but it's not a bigger stage than something they've seen before. And so do your job. You know, don't get outside of yourself trying to be somebody that you're not. And we could absolutely beat the Chiefs. Do not let Andy Reid beat this team. I'll be furious. There's a lot of folks that I'll be willing to lose to. Andy Reid ain't one of them, dog. So do your job, man. Let's get this done. Go Birds.
I mean, dude, we are one win away. We are, the garden is fully grown from what Nick Sirianni has said last year. You know, Howie Roseman laid down some fertilizer in the off season and that shit popped, man. I can't believe that we're here. You know, Nick Sirianni said at the very beginning of the season that we got to take this one round at a time. This is a long fight. We are in round 20 right now. And it's time for the knockout punch, man. I'm ready to see you guys on Broad Street. Let's fucking go, Birds. Let's get that second ring. Let's go.
Man, I'm just telling you that, like, Eagle fans, you know you've been riding with this team for a very long time, riding with them the whole season, following the ups and downs. But it's been a lot of ups. It's been a lot of trials and tribulations. But it's been a great ride, man. Just, like, yeah. Lay it all on the line. Like, we have deserved this moment. Super Bowl is here. Our team's in it. All the other people talking all that junk, their teams aren't in it. So they're feeling a kind of way. But we don't care about them. We care about you guys and your vibes and what you guys are bringing all season. Just have fun, man. It's a family thing, too. It says it's a Philly thing. It's a family thing. Super Bowl is something special in all of our lives. If you're a diehard Eagle fan, make sure you just enjoy the moment, man. It's here. Super Bowl's here. I can't be more elated. Sunday can't come quick enough. But as always,
no one likes us, and we don't care, bro.
And we also care about Primo. We didn't get to talk about Prime.
Primo.
Shout out to Prime in the building.
Shout out Prime.
The guy's the hardest working man in the building, and he's a bowler.
And happy birthday to my father. I want to throw that one in there.
Hey.
Okay.
Happy birthday. He's drinking Crunchy Beer tonight. Crunchy Beer on him at the bar, you know?
My dad's probably going to be on that Za tonight, bro.
Hey. Yeah, on that loud pack. I like it.
Yeah, man. At the end of the day, man, it's Fly Eagles Fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds!